Shut up.
The
footy
on Triple M. The weekend is here.
I like it.
And so is Triple M footy.
And doesn't he love it?
I just want to say I've got a pretty good feeling about this.
This is the Friday Huddle.
Farine Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
MCG looks fantastic on a Friday night. Hope you've had a fantastic week. Big weekend coming your way as we lead into Richmond versus Geelong in an hour and 50 minutes time. So much to come. Before that, though, a couple of guests, Matty Scarlett, Cats legend, the captain of Richmond, unfortunately injured with a hamstring at the moment, Trent Cotchin. All your favourites will be here. Nate's top five, beat the Chief, Chief Slaughterhouse, and an incredible cult hero by the name of Scotty Turner. And the two man is getting involved in the pre-game tonight as well. So there's a lot to look forward to. I look around, the captain of the team is here. Hello to you, Dar.
Hello, Howard. Great to be here. Now, if Chief has organised Scotty Turner to come on to talk about the day, kick 17 goals.
Yes. That's not what I've organised.
You know what's happened? The Instagram account's gone to Chief's head.
What we need to you people go back need into that. To understand.
What do we need to understand, Chief?
Is that Scotty kept me goalless one day. That was the reason I thought we should get him on, because he cops a lot of flack for one reason. How about we give him a little bit of love?
You're a good man, Scotty Turner. I'm looking forward to that.
Good evening, boys. How are we
Chief
all?
Underscore Dunstall is here with his 13,100 followers.
13,000?
Yes, he's doubled it up since last week.
13,000?
Yes. Hello, how's it going on social media, Chiefy?
I don't know.
He knows, because in a moment he's got products that have been sent to him. We need to talk about that, Howie, as well. He's got some endorsements.
There's some extraordinary stuff going on. Damien's here, locked and loaded with what could potentially be an explosive story, which we'll get to in a moment. Hello to you, Damien.
Hello, Howie. Yeah, you and I have been doing some behind-the-scenes work, haven't we?
We have.
Your instigation, by the way.
No, it was your idea.
Okay, it was your idea. We'll get to it soon, but it's going to be awkward for someone.
Am I getting out of it again?
I know. Nathan Brown's here. Hello to you, Noodles.
G'day, everybody. And I'd love a morning with Chief Instagram, because I found out last week on the drive home. This man doesn't get up until 10:30 a.m.
10:30?
So he wakes up about 8:30 a.m. He rolls over and he goes back to sleep for another hour. He goes, then I might go to the toilet. And I think, I'll go back. I'll go and have another sleep. So another 45 minutes goes by. Well, gee, that was quick. And then all of a sudden I flick the TV on and I start to think about what I'm going to do with my day. And then I have a shower. What a morning that would be on Instagram.
Nathan, it's not every morning.
That's what you said.
No, not every morning.
How many times a week does that sort of 10:30 routine roll through?
Only four or five.
No, that would only be five or six.
Can you picture, Chief? Are you sans clothes, Chief, when you're in that state? Or do you wear like a nightshirt or anything? Or?
Nightshirt. Like what are we in the 1700s? Are we pilgrims?
Like a caftan?
What are you rolling with, Chief, in the boudoir?
We don't wear anything in the bedroom, mate.
Really? We?
Mirrors everywhere.
If we can film this, he'll have
That's what we'll do. Let's film it.
4 million followers, Chief, wouldn't by the end of the day.
What do you watch in the morning, Chief, when you put the TV on? Is it the morning?
Often I'll just put music on.
TV shows? No.
Put music on. I don't watch talk.
Not. When you said we, is there a partner that's in
the No,
occasion?
We, as in
the royal we.
Any animals? Is there any dogs or anything? Or? A pet.
What are you inferring?
A pet. A lot of people who live on their own apartment, have a cat or a...
I live in an apartment.
A lot of people in apartments.
I hate cats.
Dog?
I love dogs, but I don't have the time or the ability to look after them.
Yeah, you have plenty of time.
No, I don't.
I'd love to follow Chief on Instagram if you went out on a date. I'd love to see dating Chief.
What do you mean? I don't understand what you mean by follow me on Instagram if I went out on a date. What does that mean?
Like a live feed or something like that.
A live feed?
Yeah.
What is the Truman Show,
just
is it?
Just a video on you. People would be fascinated.
They would be, Chief.
What about the gasps from the car from the three young fathers who were in the car with Chief when he said he gets up regularly at 10:30 and the three of us just went, geez, wouldn't that be nice? Now, we've got to get something away right off the top after we've dealt with Chief's sleeping habits. Damo and I have put together what can only be called an exclusive joint investigation.
A joint investigation. Yep.
Which will blow the top off the AFL. This has been running for 5 to 6 weeks now, Damo.
At least 5 weeks.
5 to 6 weeks. Damo, as the head lead investigator of this operation, I think you
is
need to just...
Sort of like two guys from the Age.
Baker and McKenzie.
Baker and McKenzie.
McKenzie and Baker.
Very
they
similar.
They are as good as it gets, those two.
Very similar. Well, they were until Damo unloads what he's about to unleash on the AFL world right now.
Well, do you want to reveal what we've dubbed this investigation? Or do you want
no, me? You go with
we're
the
We're going
no.
to call this one Operation...
You're really backtracking at the moment, mate.
I know.
You're going to own this, Howie.
I will.
Like Damo a couple of weeks ago.
I've got the facts. He's going to give you an overall view.
Well, we've dubbed this Operation Smackdown.
It's got a name.
And that will have a context in a few moments, hopefully. And what we are about to reveal is
exclusively on Triple M.
Exclusively is information that the people involved do not want us to tell.
No.
Wow.
It involves
I got a couple of phone calls during the week saying you cannot go with this,
yep.
Nor can your mate Damien Barrett.
Yep.
Is my name about to come up?
Nope. Oh, you're going to enjoy this, Chief.
Let's have some fun then.
Even though it doesn't involve you, Chief, it does involve some of the AFL's biggest names.
Biggest.
And also some of the not-so-biggest AFL
yes.
names, one of whom might be in this box.
Possibly.
We'll get to that in a moment. It's a project that was initially had its origins in the NRL world.
It did.
Where they took it off and they took a property and a project to Country Victoria. This will be broadcast on live and national TV. November is the time frame in which this story will culminate.
Yep.
And it involves... Someone's getting very easy. It involves the sweet science, Stas.
Oh, no.
For those who don't know what that is, it involves boxing.
Yes.
Massive money is being thrown around to getting people involved in a massive event.
Yes.
I've been told the gloves in question in this boxing event will be more pillows than actual proper boxing gloves, but just to protect those who are partaking.
Damo, my part of the investigation, we knew the weight of the gloves. I think you can tell the people of that. The 18-ounce
gloves.
18 ounces, yep. Are quite soft. That's the type of detail me and Damo are bringing to the table here. 18-ounce gloves.
Yep. There will be 2-minute rounds,
yes.
Times 3 per bout.
Yes.
Howie, that's my part of the investigation.
Who's fighting?
Okay, so Damo's giving you the overall. Now, I was told I can't name any of the people involved, but...
And I'm refusing to.
Can't name them, give me the list.
Because I'll be breaking confidences and I don't want to, but...
So, from what we've understood...
So, big names in the AFL are fighting.
...are going head-to-head in the ring on Australia's premier pay TV platform.
For what purpose?
Foxtel.
It's basically a boxing event.
Is it a charity? Are we raising money
part
for charity?
Charity and a lot of money involved.
Not charity as in
a lot of money involved. A lot of money.
A lot of money.
And now I know exactly who's involved.
Look at
the end.
Look at him.
Look at Nate. He's going.
I'll give you some names. For? I'll give you a few names. So they started.
I don't know anything about it.
They started at the top of the promotion. So the man that has been offered the most money. Now, I just want to preface this by saying some of this is incredibly accurate, but I've thrown in a few red herrings.
Oh.
Just so...
Actually, that's good, actually.
Chief and I know nothing about this, so we'll tell you what's accurate.
So it's a group of AFL footballers will be together in the ring, as Damo said, 3 2-minute rounds, a lot of money, but it's a tiered payment system.
All ex-players.
And yes.
Ex-players.
Okay. And no one knows what the other one has been offered.
Till this very point right now. So the top drawer was the man most recently out of the game. Gary Ablett was offered the highest fee. Gary said no.
Name the fee, Howie. I think you're entitled to name the fee.
I don't want to name the fee, but north of 100. Okay, so...
Wow.
For 6 minutes of boxing.
6 minutes of boxing. And then...
Little Gaz are not interested
no,
in that.
No, and then they went to the second tierer, which is obviously a big name, who told me he'd prefer I didn't name it, but Chief, you just have.
So, well, he loves his boxing.
Who
duck,
does?
Doesn't he?
So the chief...
The duck always had a reputation as very, very tasty.
Very good.
Yep.
So the duck has declined this particular... But he was in the region of between $65,000 and $80,000.
So he's not doing it. Can confirm that...
You'd be worried with the figures I'm going with, Damo. I'm giving away a fair bit now, aren't I?
The only reason Duck would have said no is to hang out for a little bit more loot.
Okay, so... Duck is out.
100% not doing it.
Now, I'm going to name some of the players that are going to be involved. Now, there is potentially a fight between Boom Boom Harvey and one of his taggers. So maybe your Ryan Crowley style.
Ooh,
so they are pretty much, I want to say pretty much confirmed in this arrangement.
Mate, I saw
this Boomer.
Holes
all over.
How fit is he right now?
He's got massive pipes, doesn't he?
Now, the next line of payments comes in, Damo. You told me around the $50,000 mark.
Did I? Yeah,
that's what you said.
Yeah, all right.
That involves...
I'll go along with it.
Djokovic.
Oh.
Favola.
Favola.
Swan. And Akamanis.
All confirmed?
Not all confirmed, but some of those men are confirmed.
Gee, there'd be a few putting their hand up to fight Acker, wouldn't
At 50,000. At 50,000.
He can go.
We go down one notch to your sort of $40,000 operators, 35 to 40. Mooney.
Moondog, he can go.
Are you worried about how many people I'm naming here, Damo?
I've lost control. I'm not part of this.
No, you are.
Moon's control.
Stevie J.
He can throw him.
Loves to throw him.
Needs a bit of conditioning work, Stevie.
And a real angry man who I'm putting a lot on, Brendan Goddard.
Brendan Goddard?
Yes.
What sort of money are we talking?
He's in the sort of medium 40,000-ish bracket.
Oh, plugs.
And then there's a couple of AFLW fighters involved as well, which is fantastic. But the whole thing came to a bit of a head because they approached quite a few people and some have the time and ability to do it and others didn't. So then they needed to try and get some more involved.
Cast the net a bit wider.
They needed to cast.
To get a pool of options.
And this is when the money had started to run out.
So what
and
you're saying
this was
is,
on the table.
So I reckon they needed to make up the numbers.
That's right, Chief.
So you go to your second, third tier. So Djokovic Duck would be... You know, for obvious reasons.
Well, as I said,
heavyweight bout, you go up.
That's right. That's
so where
right.
have they gone?
So money. You need to recruit a couple of lightweights to make up the numbers.
That don't get paid as much, too.
Correct.
So I have been told, and Damo has been told.
Yes, this bit I have been told.
That our very own
by you.
Man out of country Victoria, Nathan
from Bendigo. Noons
Brown, the brawler from Bendigo, has been approached.
That's what
I've been told, Nath.
Why is this so funny to you,
mate? Bendigo brawler.
Have you been approached in a boxing style situation?
Something's come across.
So I got some figures and who he could potentially fight.
Oh. Can I just say before we get to the figures, this is a talented man. By his own admission,
Duke, in his words,
the best player in of the competition in tennis. Very, very good tennis player. Yep. He can do a lot of things.
Duke.
He should go nowhere near Chief.
Correct.
Nowhere near a boxing ring.
I'm sitting here.
Keep him out of there.
I'm combing my memory banks, struggling to come up with one instance where he may have got aggressive with someone on the field or wanted to be involved in something aggressive.
It's not his genre.
The man is a human teddy bear.
They approached a lot first, Chief. They approached a lot of people before it was knocked on his door.
Who would he fight? Who do you put up against?
So I've got the answer to that.
This is good.
And I've also got the fee of what he's been offered.
What are they offering, Nate?
Do you want who he's going to fight first or what he's been offered?
And remember, Gary Ablett got offered 100K?
At North.
He would have gone the cash first. He would have said, I don't care who it is, how much am I getting paid?
Now, I'll tell you who, potentially. It was put to me
Damo
and the investigation team that Nath was offered a potential bout, I want to say potential here, with Volcano Kane Corns.
I'd take that. If they put
that's
up Kane Corns, I'd be in
told.
There.
You'd
take
that's that. What I've been told. It's Noonan Brown versus Volcano Kane Corns.
You could have a spa session on the Sunday Footy Show.
I don't know what you blokes are laughing at. Because there's four of you here, and I'd comfortably fight three of you and win. All right? Three of you. Chief, I'm not going to take you on. But Das, you're the biggest fan here. Any man that orders a gluten-free vegetarian pizza, they lose before they get in the ring. Okay? You wouldn't even allowed to be in there.
There is a sticking point in the deal, though.
What's happened?
And it came down to money. So our man, I've taken you through. I've talked to your Gazza north of 100. I've talked of Duck, 70-ish. Then you're 50, you're 40, you're 30. And then we get to Nath and his man, Chris Giannopoulos, who apparently takes 20% as well. So you've got to factor that into it. It was coming in 18 or 19,000.
No, that's incorrect, Howard.
Well, that's fair enough.
There's Duck now.
There's the heavyweight champ. The heavyweight champ.
It was a lot more than that, Howard.
Duck, can you confirm?
What are you talking about?
Wagga Thrasher.
Well, people are disbelieving mine and Damo's the research. What was it called again?
Operation
Smackdown.
Smackdown. Yeah. Smackdown. Duck, were you approached to fight?
There's been some.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think. And by the way. When did you get approached, Brownie? I think they're really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
That's what we were going with, Doug. That's what we were told.
I was very early days.
Of course you were, Doug.
And decided that...
Are you just still waiting for the right number?
Well, no. I don't think I'll be doing it.
Have you officially ruled yourself out, Doug?
I have.
100%.
I have. But yes. There's been no follow-up, so I'm not even sure where it...
But, Doug, your reputation precedes you in this.
You know what?
Coming out of Adelaide...
Which is probably... why I wouldn't do it.
Took on a couple of Navy SEALs.
Don't ever destroy the myth.
There's only one thing that can happen.
Need to take on the Navy SEALs. That's all we want to know.
The myth can be completely destroyed. And if you do happen to be okay, then they'll say, oh, yeah, of course he was. What a flog.
Duck, we brought to the table and we were sort of general figures. We had been told, Damo and I, in Operation Smackdown from our sources, you were in the region of between $65,000 and $80,000 offer.
No, I don't discuss monetary.
So that means yes.
You got to get out of bed for 80 grand.
No. I was a bit. To be honest, the exact figure I was told with Nath wasn't 18. I was told he was offered 25, and he has gone back saying he needs a little bit more. Was that fair to say, Nate?
They offered a little bit more than that, and I said I'd need a little bit more than that. Right. But if you throw up Kane Corns, I might be interested.
I was going to say, who have they touted as your
maybe
opponent?
Maybe a Kane Corns, so oh, I'd be
love
happy
to
with
see that. I'd actually pay for a ticket for that. I reckon he'd give you a touch-up.
So let's say, Brownie, we get the amount up and Kane Corns an offer. Are you prepared to?
School fees aren't cheap, Duke. So, and well, the kids are going to go to private school.
You're representing the Friday Huddle, Brownie, if you go in.
And so I put money on myself.
It's bigger than just you if you take this on. Are we going to supporting it, Chief, or not?
Well, I've already told you. I'd beat three of the four of you.
Do you know what I love? I love the fact that you're prepared to take one for your family. That's why he's doing it.
That's what I do every week.
They can have a better education.
Totally.
So, can we all do a little bit of sparring with you before the fight happens?
Sure you can. So I reckon you'd make 2 minutes at the moment.
Well, that's all right. Oh.
Name a figure, Nate.
I'll only need 30 seconds.
That's why I said I wouldn't fight you.
Give us a figure, Nate. What figure would it take for you to get in the ring with a bloke we just
we're
going to
negotiate this.
Yeah. Hey? What type of figure?
50.
50.
What? 50.
50.
Oh, no, hang on.
Is 50. That what you meant by the five fingers?
I didn't do that, Dave.
And 50 the zero that you held up next to it?
That was your Djokovic, Favola, Swan, Akamana style line.
You can't put yourself in that
hair. You're not a
Duck. Duck's got more.
I'm led to believe that 20-ounce gloves as well. I mean, basically, you're fighting with pillows on your hand.
Yeah. Yeah. We did bring that in Operation Smack.
18 was part of the table.
Yeah. Do you reckon you could get him 50, Duck, your connections?
No. Brownie's a lover.
Okay, and push up to train me.
Are you dirty that Gary Ablett got offered more than you?
I did hear a figure that Gary disappointed me. I must say.
The Friday Huddle team sat down at their mahogany table to come up with the next big idea in radio. Then someone said,
"Hey, what if we do a countdown?"
This is the Friday Huddle's top five.
McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M Rocks Footy. We're leading up to Richmond v Geelong. Damo, you're getting a furious barrage of messages.
Yeah, there are. I'm just seeking permission if I can actually broadcast some of what I am receiving on the phone. So I really hope I can because
more fight
it's
news?
Very good. Yes, yes.
Jeez.
Hang on. Yeah, yep. Okay. This has come from one of the people mentioned.
Okay.
Sorry, Chief. Did you want to do you?
No.
It was Nate's top five.
Okay. Well, we just heard before that Nathan Brown has been offered to use his services as a boxer in an event. He volunteered Kane Corns as his opponent. Kane Corns has just come back and said, and I've got permission to say this, I'd smash Brownie.
We're hearing other words coming through that one particular fighter has declared that he will do it and wants a certain opponent.
Right.
And and is prepared to do it. Oh. You know,
and also,
more serious going, I've got a long-held rivalry.
Like the line in the sand tops.
Dial me up into right a. So this, I'm fascinated by this.
And another, we've been alerted to the fact that one of the people we mentioned actually volunteered because he's that keen to get in the ring. So we'll follow that.
We should not fob off that Brownie just had the gauntlet laid down.
Yeah, right by Kane Corns.
I'd smash him. Was the quote?
Smash him.
Let's get into it. I've already been told I'm on a time schedule here, but the great media footy feuds on the back of Collingwood and Port Adelaide, the fact that they're feuding over this jumper, I don't understand it. So here are the top five media footy feuds.
I like this.
And you'll see a theme of all five. And the first one is Damo and Luke Darcy.
we had
an off-air issue a couple of weeks ago where Duke wasn't happy with some of the work that Damo, the lack of work that Damo came with him on a story. And it was a few tense moments and the producer had to have a word to us.
Yes.
This is all off-air stuff that you're not allowed to talk about on air, but I've gone with it anyway. Now, it goes back longer than that. These two have been at it for a number of years.
No,
you haven't been good for a long time.
Good.
You haven't. You got this angst against each other, and here is some audio from the past.
In round three last year, when they lost their third game by 100 points, you were questioning Alistair Clarkson's ability to coach and the whole media were because that's what you do.
Now, don't bring what I said about that issue. Never questioned Alistair Clarkson.
But the media, as a rule, did.
Right. Let's deal with what I say.
Tom Boyd's had a horrible 12 months.
133 points in two games.
Yeah. And they need I can do the maths, don't we? Well, 80, that's right. Well done. You can add up, Dame, over 2 weeks. Congratulations. Hey, you should go with that story. This is where you're being truculent and you're being incorrect. Damo, but what you don't get in a football club because you've never been on the inside is that's part of doing business.
There it is.
The best
what
best
you don't get is the conversations I have with people around that footy club are different to the ones you have because you are wearing the scarf and the duffel coat.
That is one of the great footy feuds of all time, and it continues to go, and no, they come from different worlds.
We get actually, it all. Now I hear that back, I'm starting to think we need a fire. I'm not sure I came out on top of that.
Remember how excited you, Judge, and I were to sit back and listen to that on the night?
We just let it go.
Was that all in one night?
Yeah, it was all cut up.
That didn't cut up well for you, Jim.
In hindsight.
Anytime Damien's, this is number four. Anytime Damo's name comes up, Grant Thomas seems to take offence to Damo. And I thought, why is that? I'm going to look. And I started to research. I like the research chief. And I started Googling Damo and Grant Thomas and bite an issue. And I came across an article from a long, long time ago. Grant Thomas is demanding, this is Damien Barrett, $200,000 from St Kilda in the latest fallout from his sacking as coach last year. In yet another distraction, Thomas and the Saints attempt to make the finals. It goes on and on and on. Okay, and then talks about the verbal agreement he had with Rod Butters to $1.14 million. And he's trying to get a comment. He rang Grant Thomas, and Grant Thomas has gone, I've got no comment to make at all. Damo wasn't happy with that. So he just went that little bit further and got this quote from Rod Butters, and this is where I think that maybe they've fallen out. Butters described Thomas as a virus and who needed to be flushed out.
Oh, no.
So Damo has gone with this in an article, and it's starting to make sense now why these people fight with you, Damo.
I actually forget that.
Damo, how's the status of that particular feud? Is
That's right up
you've
there.
You've gone with virus. You can't do that.
That's a quote.
Yeah.
That's a quote. That's not my word.
You were pretty happy when it came out, though, the quote, weren't you?
If it's on record, Brownie, it's on record.
Okay, number three, and funny enough, it also involves Damo. And this one dates back to 2015. In the lineup rumours between Michael Talia allegedly passing on to brother Daniel Talia before the Dogs played in a final at the MCG, and this was the result.
That'll never be forgiven by anyone at our football club. And so that's a real shame, because that's a choice that a certain journalist might make. And it's just a window into that person's soul and how black that soul is.
That's a good clip.
A black soul.
Okay.
Should see how much Chief's enjoying
it. He's loving it. I'm getting hotter by the second.
He's finally enjoying one of my top five, Chief.
Yep.
Okay, now we get to number two. Funnily enough again, Damien Barrett. He's at war with the Herald Sun. Always with the Herald Sun since he left. Obviously, he hasn't been there for a long time, but
I chose to leave, by the way.
And when I do this research, it's funny the things you find and things that trigger in your memory. And the amount of times Damo talks about the Herald Sun and the fact that they don't name their sources or they don't put their names to anything. He goes, insiders say this or sources say that. It's funny you should say that, Damo, because I found an article. Blues heads to roll from 2002.
2002?
The Carlton board has given Stephen Kernahan and Greg Williams Dilley end of the week to resign from coaching staff positions or face losing the directorship.
I can't remember these stories.
Okay, so it goes on and on. And then it says,
took down Sticks and Diesel in one article.
Sources suggest that many employees, part and full time, would be removed.
You found an article from
one insider this week said heads will roll. Make no mistake. This is the thing you hate, Damo.
Yeah, but it's 2002.
It is. And look at his photo there. Yeah.
You're not one of those journos, eh, Damo?
No, well, insiders. I was once, clearly.
That's not
okay, so number one. And funnily enough, Damo, it also involves you and the current chief writer of the Herald Sun in Mark Robinson, Mike Sheehan left.
Did they get involved in that boxing match, Howie?
Robbo would have me covered on that.
We know that.
He's a very good sportsman, Robbo.
That is pay TV.
That is good.
Right there. That's your top of the bill at the end of the night.
Damo with any person is top of the bill. Hey, it appeared the Cold War was over after a handshake last year and some civilness, but not to be, because Robbo opened the wounds this year and went to with the AFL. Had been monitoring Damo's columns.
Yeah, I was being monitored,
and the aggressiveness against North Melbourne. And Damo responded suggesting that Robbo had a ghostwriter as the chief writer for the Herald Sun. But we'll go back in time, and I think this is around where it started.
I mean, Barrett's paid by the AFL. So he admitted last week he's on the anti-herd camp. Now, he's a journalist putting his hand up saying, hey, I'm not compromised. I'm on the anti-herd camp. Well, no worries. We'll just disregard everything you say because it's tainted. But I'm not that angry about it. I can't afford to be angry. What do I do? Walk up to Barrett and say,
Let's go.
Let's go inside. Well,
but he sleeps with the lights on anyway.
So,
So this is where we think it stems from, that Damo might sleep with the lights on, according to Robbo, but this was Damo's response.
Have you got a lamp?
Well, what I do when I go to bed, as long as carrying the stress like everyone else does in life, I do manage to lie straight in bed.
Oh, when you hear...
So that's the top five footy feuds involving Damo.
Thanks, Brioni.
Thanks for bringing up a memory lane, chat.
Yeah, I was happy with myself after the first segment.
It's time to test your knowledge against footy's greatest musical mind.
Get on with it, love.
This is Beat the Chief.
That's it. Score yourself a winning deal with this one. Maccas are now doing 24 chicken McNuggets for $9.95 in their best ever loose change menu. Get them as part of your Friday night footy feed at Maccas, but hurry, they're only around for a limited time.
Now, before we play Beat the Chief, and you cannot beat the Chief, so we know how this is going to play out. The Chief, every week he said, this is not my sweet spot, and then he dominates. I remember watching, we're at the MCG, by the way. It is the Tigers and the Cats. Chris Scott has had an outside middle of the MCG team meeting that's gone for several minutes now. He's standing with all the players surrounding him. And just delivering a lengthy oration, Howie, which you don't see too often pre-game.
The only time you see it is when the Cats play, and he does it every single time. But apart from that, you rarely see it in the big time draft, to be completely honest.
He does a pre-game address on the ground every single time they play. Every single time.
Yeah. Every single time.
First time I've seen it.
Doesn't he, Damo?
I wasn't actually going to do what you just did and call Darcy out on it, but yes, I saw this regularly last year in Brisbane.
Well, you seen it before, Nate?
But I wasn't going to call it out, Howie.
Every time we see Geelong play. Yes.
Well, I can't. Oh, look, I reckon I've only seen the Cats
here we go.
A couple of times this year, and they've done it both times. But, you know, it could be a mistake.
For the tens of thousands of people listening, they would have been very fascinated by that.
Got to do your research, Duke.
Awesome call.
Right, Beat the Chief. You said he's not confident tonight.
I'm not.
Guitar
hasn't
solos.
Been confident every,
no.
every week.
You're in charge of scoring. Josh from Ringwald is on the line trying to beat the Chief. Hello, Joshy.
How you going, guys?
Good, Joshy. Are you across music in general?
I'm pretty good at the music stuff. Yep.
What's your sort of background in music?
I've been playing guitar since I was 12, and I'm 34 now. So,
Hang on. Now, Joshy, your buzzer. Would you like to go with Josh?
Why not?
Okay, what are you going with tonight, Chief?
I'll go with Chief. I'm really, really worried about Joshy, boy.
He's gotten his head early, noodles.
Captain Awesome's gone, is it?
Yeah. He had his run. He's done.
All right. So what we'll do, Josh, we will play the guitar solo, and then you need to buzz in and beat the Chief and go with the name of the band. Are you ready?
Hang on. Ready, yep.
What's wrong?
You've changed the contest, have you?
Chief's nervous.
No.
Clarification.
Well, I thought you were going to name the song.
What do we do every other week?
And then we name the artist. But you said you're going to play with the guitar.
No, we'll do it how we normally do it.
Well, that's not what you just said.
Well, I've got that wrong then. So what do I do, Chief? I name the song and you name the band. Okay, sorry.
This will go well.
Okay. Mm. So sorry, Josh. I will name the song and then you've got to name the band.
Sounds good.
Okay. Here we go, Chiefy and Josh. November Rain.
Chief.
Yes.
Guns and
Josh.
Yes. A bit of a delay there, Josh.
Yes.
Been drinking?
It's all right. It's all right. It's a slow start, but that's okay. That's all right. 1-0 to Chief. Song number two, Thunderstruck.
Chief.
Yes.
Akka Dagga.
Yes. Good though, Josh.
I still think that's the better way to do it, to play the actual guitar riff.
Oh, you want to change the rules now?
Well, I think it's a little bit. That's what Josh thought it was going to be. Yeah, that's what he rang up for.
That's what we've done. And if you want to have your own segment, do it as you please. But this is not your
segment. Not a high degree of difficulty to start, it's fair to say.
No, but we're just working. You know, Josh has been good. He just haven't got one away yet. Here we go. Third song. I believe in a thing called love.
Chief.
Josh
is in.
The Darkness.
Yes.
Too quick.
First time anyone's got one off Chief in the first five questions.
Did you have the answer, Chief?
I did.
You like that song, Chief.
I do like
you and I've discussed that song in the past.
I love The Darkness. What a band they were. Yeah.
Here we go, Joshy. This could be a boil over amongst all boil overs. Sultans of Swing.
Chief.
Josh.
Dire Straits.
Yes. I like Josh's passion on the other end, though.
One of my favourite bands, Dire Straits.
This is one I'd never even heard of this one. LaGrange.
Josh.
Chief. It was Chief.
ZZ Top.
Yes,
no,
it was.
I thought it was Josh.
Hang in there, Joshy.
I thought that was Josh.
So,
What's the score?
It is a 4-1 lead to the Chiefs.
Josh, don't worry. You're in as good a position as anyone's been at the halfway mark. Here we go.
Hey.
I tend to agree with Josh. I thought he got in there.
Well, I did too, Howie.
We'll replay it afterwards.
Yeah, we'll turn it around.
Yep.
We'll play it. We'll go to Fran upstairs.
Take the delay out.
Here we go. Next song. Comfortably Numb.
Chief.
Josh.
Yes. Pink Floyd.
Very good, Chief.
Stick with it, Joshy. Stick with it.
All right. I'm here. Yep.
Go. You got to go real sharp, Joshy. Real sharp. Here
all
we go.
All right.
Purple Rain.
Chief.
Josh.
Chief.
Prince.
Yes. What's the score done?
He says it. He doesn't even know, but then he thinks it. He gets it.
His knowledge is so good. What's the score, please?
6-1.
6-1. Okay. Two to go.
Say your name straight away, Josh.
Here we go. All right. Three to go.
Josh.
Yes. No, yes, Josh. Yes, Josh.
Damn it. Nah, you got me.
No, stick with it. You're back in it. Here we go. Hotel California.
Josh.
Chief.
Eagles.
Eagles it was.
He's too good a chief.
7-1. People... I get accosted by people on the street saying,
"Yeah,
this can't be real."
I was asked twice this week.
100% genuine. Two to go. Beat it.
Chief.
Yep.
Josh. Michael Jackson.
Well, what about the... from Joshy. So what's your score?
8-1.
So as we always say at this time of the quiz that Damo likes, Josh, if you get 9 from the next one, you will win. Here we go.
Thank you.
Final one. Come on, Joshy.
Josh. Josh. Josh.
Keep going. Eruption.
Chief.
Josh.
You go, Josh.
Josh. Van Halen.
Yes.
Eddie Van Halen.
Well done. Hey, Joshy, what end score?
It's a 8-2 smashing.
That's as much as anyone's taken off the Chief.
Yeah, and I think Josh knew his stuff. But
I like Josh.
Yeah, well done, Josh.
He was a nice guy.
Who do you support, Joshy?
Go the Catters.
You think they win tonight?
Ooh. Oh, it's a big one. I got my whole family watching. My dad's a Richmond man, so shout out to Edgar watching at home.
Are you in a band, Josh, or not?
Not at the moment. No, I was years ago.
Okay.
What's your favourite band of all time, Josh?
Oh, it's got to be Van Halen.
Ooh, I like it.
Mm. Did you think,
great band.
Did you think you'd beat the Chief?
I honestly did, but I think he's got a helping hand at the studio, I reckon.
Oh, that's a big Chief.
Anyway, you want to respond to that, Chief?
You've been defamed, Chief.
There's no point in me trying to defend it, Howie. People think what they want to think.
All right, Joshy, thanks for joining us, mate.
Dirtied up.
All right, mate. Thanks, guys.
What do you want me to say?
8-2. It's incredible.
He's taking that personally, Chief.
It's incredible.
Dirtied up. I haven't taken anything personally.
You're not getting help, are you, Chief, from the studio?
Well, not that I'm aware of. We're not in the studio.
He doesn't need help. He does not need help.
No, no.
McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M Rocks Football, Mark Howard, Luke Darcy, Damien Barrett, Jason Dunstall, Nathan Brown. 51 minutes into the show, Damo, we will now start talking about football because it's always a treat to have this man on the show. We wish he was playing. He is the multiple premiership captain of the Richmond Football Club, Trent Cotchin in his name. Is his name. He joins us now. Mark Howard here. Cotch, how are you?
Good, thanks, Howie. Yourself?
Yeah, good. Was it really late in the game when you unfortunately injured your hamstring? What happened?
Yeah, probably poor body positioning at stoppage. Then it got to the outside and felt like I had to make it up, chasing one of the Bulldogs boys. And, yeah, just a little grab. So knew as soon as I did it that it was not just cramp.
So when you've done it a couple of times, Cotch, is it always the same process that the recovery guys put you through? Like, how do you get over a hamstring injury? Or do they come up with different things if you've done it a couple of times?
Yeah, I think... in most cases, they try to build a program around, particularly later in your program, protecting yourself against the same sort of mechanisms that you do it. But from the start, you know, I was running on Monday, even after doing it on Friday, which surprises a lot of people, but I think it's just about getting back up and moving. And even today, I was, you know, striding, but I wouldn't say I was breaking any records. So, yeah, but... I know it's frustrating. It's part of the game. And as I get older, I think, you know, my physio last year said you probably just got to expect that you're going to do one a year
right
from now on in.
Well, hopefully that's the one.
That's the plan, anyway.
It's a nice rivalry the Cats and the Tigers have been building, Cotch, over the last couple of years. Do you feel like there's a psychological advantage you guys have? I mean, you laid that big tackle in the prelim on Reece Stanley, which turned the game 21 points down. And everybody felt last year at halftime probably going to do the same. And you guys didn't come back from 4 goals down. That has got to make you very confident going in against them.
Yeah, I think both teams really will know each other or know how each other play very well, like most teams do in the AFL nowadays, Brownie. But there is a rivalry. We've had some great contests across, you know, probably the last 3 or 4 years, and they've got some outstanding players. They play a great system, and we feel as though we do the same. And what better place to be than the MCG on a Friday night early on in the season.
Hey, Koch, you're getting towards the tail end of your career as you do at that age and as a three-time premiership captain. Not trying to retire you too early, mate.
He's got about four or five to go.
I know, but you're in the back half rather than the front. What sort of things do you look to after when it does eventually finish, Koch? What could you imagine life after footy's going to look like for you?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting phase of life, and you guys have all been through it where you want to put your heart and soul into the thing that you love doing every day, but also are well aware that somehow you need to bring in an income beyond footy as well. But, you know, we recently started a boxing gym called One Two, which is local to us, but that's more about not just the fitness element, but creating a community that makes people happier and healthier. But also I've started a sock brand as well, which is effectively around the same thing. And, you know, I think that's what I'm learning. It's not so much about what you're doing, but why you're doing it. And for me, it's about making a difference or a positive difference in people's lives. And that's, I think someone once told me that if you're doing something you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And that's the plan beyond footy.
Beautifully said. I'm wondering if the 1-2 gym would take on Nate Brown. Gotchen, have you heard this? He's thinking about fighting Kane Corns. Could you train him up?
I'll train him up for that. No worries at all.
Who would you back?
Koch in the corner.
Yep. Who would you back?
I've seen Brown in the boxing. He's got good calves for it. But definitely come down for a few sessions, Brownie. We can look after you.
There you go.
Boxing one. Where's the gym? Boxing 1-2. How do we get down there?
It's in Mooney Ponds. Happy to have all you guys down there for a session. And we can have a laugh, but also get a sweat up.
That's a big part of this. We've got Koch in Brownie's corner. This is building.
Yeah.
I like this.
Hey, Trent, the expectation that comes with being a Richmond player in 2021 is different to what it was in 2016-17. Can you just explain to our listeners how it's different for you personally and also, as you do, if you don't mind, just factoring in the semi-continual writing off of the credentials, which happened even in the lead-up to the most recent match?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one, Damo. I mean, for me personally, I probably feel there's less pressure and expectation, and that's probably just the trust and, you know, the amazing support that I have from, other leaders, but also just our playing group and the way that they show up and perform each week, that takes a lot of pressure off me and the pressure that I used to put on myself. And I feel as though I can just focus on what I can control, which sounds really boring, but it's as simple as that for me personally. But no doubt, I mean, when you're performing and the expectations are high outside of the footy club, when you don't quite, you know, tick off what we've done in the past from a four-quarter effort point of view. Clearly, people like to criticise us, and the reality is we sell papers, and that's part and parcel of the media game as well. So I think there's just, you know, an understanding and an acceptance of that, knowing what we can control, knowing what we can't, and then focusing on those things that we can control, and that's, you know, training on field, but also our mental preparation, the way we look at opposition teams, the things that we feel as though are our strengths, and building on them each week. So I think it's a good place to be challenged, and everyone wants to see the best of you every week, but the reality is we're all human as well, and sometimes that doesn't happen. And yeah, I think it comes back to the acceptance of that.
Yep. And the evolution of individuals within the club each year has been another part of why you're so successful. Someone this year who's just gone to the next level is Shea Bolton. Can you just, again, explain to our listeners as to how that's happened and what he means to what's happening in 2021?
Yeah, he's a star. I mean, there's only a few players that have that sort of innate ability just to find the footy and get themselves out of trouble. And, you know, it's probably unfair for me to put the pressure on him from a Dustin Martin point of view. But Shea does have that sort of innate ability. And I think what we've seen him do over the last couple of years is play really different roles and sort of grow and flourish in different areas of the game, whether that be when we had a few injuries last year, he played majority midfield, and then as few of our troops came back, he spent a bit more time forward. And I think he's just got, you know, so much talent to burn. But for him, his focus is just adhering to those roles that he does play week in, week out. And, you know, last week he effectively played Dusty's role and did a bloody good job of it. But I tell you what, I think something that I would love to take out of his book is just rolling into a game and not really giving two stuffs about anything and just rolling through and playing footy, because, you know, effectively that's what we all did growing up, and that's how AFL should be for the most part as well.
Koch, when you're the top team, as you guys have been for a number of years now, the rest of the competition's chasing you. Do you feel like they're making ground? Are they catching up, or is there still that innate belief down at Tigerland that if you stick to the systems and you play somewhere near your best, you'll win?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think for us, the way we play footy holds us in really good stead. We don't typically bank on, you know, controlling the footy as such. It's more about just that erratic blitz sort of nature play, and we hunt the opposition. And you know, it's hard to be hunted when you are the hunter, and that's our attitude as we go into games, week in, week out. That's how we show up. We know it works for us, and we stick to the system and process as often as we can. And we feel as though that holds us in pretty good stead. But the reality is, you know, the AFL competition, you know, I've been amazed with some of the results this year. It's just been so even and across the board. And it's going to be an exciting year all round, I think.
Trent, just as we let you go, the footy world's fascinated with your man, Dustin Martin, because obviously we don't hear from him a great deal. You see him day in, day out. Why is he so good?
First and foremost, I think he's a bloody good person, which always helps. And he cares, so that's going to go a long way to you performing at the elite level. You know, I think he's super talented and super diligent. He's one of our best trainers, as much as people probably would find that hard to believe. But anything that he does it with purpose and meaning and gets the most out of himself. And, you know, I think people are always really surprised when I say he's very connected to his spiritual self, but also things that are a bit more on the spiritual side, whether that be meditating pre-game, during the week, or just connecting to nature at different times. It's a bizarre way to look and hear that the great Dustin Martin lives his life, but he has a really good balance in that sense.
Love it, Koch. Where can we buy your socks?
PosySocks.com, guys. New range is about to launch, actually, so it's good timing.
Have you got a pair on at the moment or not?
I do.
Well, lift your tracksuit pant up, because I'm looking at the binoculars. Move out the way there,
actually,
Benny.
These are the new range.
Oh, they are.
Do you want to know
sharp.
What's written on the top of it?
Yeah, what's it got there?
Be yourself. Everyone else is taken.
Oh, I like it.
And then
the positive
on the other
message,
one,
yes.
On the other one, we've got contact someone you love and tell them why.
Okie dokie. We need a bit of positivity in that box of ours. Gotch, we appreciate it. PosySocks.com, was it?
Yeah, that's it.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks,
best of luck. See you
guys
soon.
All the best.
Speaking of superstars and rippers, we're going now into the Cats locker rooms and none other than one of the great defenders of all time, Matty Scarlett. Now, a little bit of a late out. Asava Radigalia comes in and Reece Stanley is the laid out. What's the story there, please, Scullo?
A little bit of uncertainty still even this morning with Big Asava. We had our captain's run yesterday and it was a late decision to bring him in. So really excited to get the big fella in. He'll obviously do a fair bit of ruck work and drift forward tonight. So it's good to get him in the team.
So Reece Stanley is out of the side. Asava Radigalia comes in. We're speaking to Matty Scarlett on the Friday huddle. Here's Jason Dunstall.
Hey, Matty, what are you seeing from the life of a defender? With the new rules and the way the game's being played, the ball's moving a little quicker. Easier or tougher as a defender these days?
It is tougher, yeah. There's certainly a lot more sort of one-on-ones. It's sort of gone back about 10 years before the zones come into the game. I think it's a better spectacle to watch. I'm really enjoying watching football at the moment, but it's making life a little bit more hard for the defenders, but that's okay. I think the goal kicking has obviously gone up a little bit this year, and that's good to see as well. So, I love the rule changes. I think the game's in a good spot at the moment.
Because I reckon, Matty, for a while there, defenders got so used to a zone, they'd forgotten the art of actually winning a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You look at in the last few years, a lot of teams inside 50s, very rarely would you see a key forward on a key back in the one-on-one. You're certainly seeing more of that, and no doubt the big forwards are enjoying that, and I think that the really good defenders are shining through as well, so it's good for footy.
Yep.
Scarlo, how come Jordan Clark doesn't get a regular game? Every time I see him play, I feel like he's a talent who's just going to break a game open at some point, but just doesn't seem to get a regular spot in this 22.
Yeah, he's no doubt got the talent, mate, and we think at some stage over the next 12 months he's going to be in our team every week. It's just he's still got a fair bit to work on, and at the moment the positions he's been playing, there's guys in front of him. Like, we've brought a couple of oldish types into our team this year that are playing really well. Obviously, Isaac Smith's playing on the wing, Sam Menegola, and Zach Tui is a wingman as well. So he's just got to keep working on his game and become a really consistent performer. But we certainly have high hopes for Jordan. We think one day he'll be in our best 22.
He did play well in the VFL again last night.
He did, yeah. He got a heap of the footy. He played a little bit inside last night and did well. So he's just got to stick at it.
Have you seen him play cricket, Scarlo?
Only in the rooms at the club. He looks pretty good. He always tells a story. I think he got a hat-trick or played for Australia at some stage. But he's a really talented young kid. He's good at everything.
Hat-trick versus Pakistan, Darcy, did he?
Yeah,
hat-trick versus Pakistan. Yes. I'd like to pick a team of people that did. Simon Goodman played under-19 cricket for Australia. There's been a lot that did that. Now, Scarlo, you listen to Triple M, but you know there's not a lot of humility in this box. So I don't want you to be humble here at all. Tom Stewart, you picked him out from down at Barwon Heads or somewhere down there.
You've turned him into one of the sensational defenders in the game. How did you find him, and can you believe how good a player he's become?
How did I find him? I played with him there at South Bowen.
Wasn't that hard to find?
He was playing right beside me. Look, I saw a few things in games that I thought this kid could be right if he sort of had a crack at it. You wouldn't mind me saying this. He was a little bit overweight, a little bit lazy, probably late to mature like a lot of us were, but saw a couple of things playing beside him that I thought this kid could be a really good AFL player if he just got down there and had a crack at it. So he went down to Geelong and had a crack at the VFL, had a really good year. He used to weigh like 102 kilos. He's 90 now, so he's put a lot of work into his body. In our leadership group, one of the best defenders in the comp. So I only found him. He's done all the hard work, and he's certainly a really good player now.
Matty, we spoke earlier on Triple M Footy tonight, and we broke the big stories. As a rule, we tried to. Nathan Brown wants to fight Kane Corns as part of an AFL boxing
bout. That'd be a
good fight. Do you, just given your propensity to maybe take out a Fremantle player all those years ago, would you back Brownie in that particular bout?
Would I back Brownie? I think I'd put my money on Corns here, I reckon.
That's a bit disappointing.
Sorry, Brownie. No, I wouldn't. I reckon Brownie would give him a nice left. Well, nice little left jab.
If you were given the opportunity,
that'd be a great fight.
Scarlett, if you were given the opportunity to fight one person you played against during your days, who is the one you'd love to have a crack at?
Lloyd, I reckon.
Lloydy, yeah. Matty Lloyd, yeah. For sure. Yeah. Let's tee it up. I'd do that now. The Velvet Sledgehammer, I'd fight him.
Wouldn't you love to
see that? And his brother that works for us. I'd take them both on.
You might have to take a number, though, on that one, I think, Matty.
Join the queue.
Yeah.
Hey, Matty, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Geelong Footy Club tonight.
Thanks, guys.
So,
Campbell wanted to fight him as well.
Bob Jane T-Mart's brought us that. Buy three, get one free on Bridgestone, Acopia, and selected Dunlop passenger tyres. Visit bobjane.com.au. Did you take it that Rhys Stanley had been dropped, or how did you take that answer?
I didn't quite know how to take that one. My suspicion is they think Radiga leaves a better matchup.
It was the perfect answer from Scarlo, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
We were sitting and wondering, but he got dropped.
Righto. Thought maybe one of you both could have followed up the answer, but anyway, that was...
Your microphone wasn't working, mate?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry if you had no idea.
How we games, eh?
Well, I just thought,
off the floor.
As the ruckman, that you may sort of go and follow that up, but anyway, we obviously didn't decide
how
to do
how come
that.
The more we learn about it, the fuller the card is for Matty Lloyd when it comes to people
that's a good
wanting
question.
What's happened there?
Lloydo's sitting about 3.5 metres away from us at the moment. He's got no idea that there is the long queue of people that want to punch the suitcase out of look.
He was actually in front of us coming into the MCG, so we saw him going through security, and he had... You know how the Fonz used to roll the white T-shirt up around his arm?
Yeah, a bit
he
of
had,
a roll-up.
He had the roll-up, didn't he?
But hang on, before that, Howie's next to me going... Is he wearing Gucci shoes? Look, are they Gucci shoes? He's wearing Gucci shoes.
I think he had Gucci sneakers, which is real sort of Nathan Brown material, to be honest. I think it's time for, is it Chief Slaughterhouse? Have we got one this weekend?
Well, just a little one.
Okay, well, let's get the stinger going.
Come inside and have some fun. The party's only just begun.
Emmett, your chairman. This is Chief Slaughterhouse.
Probably better than the segment, to be fair.
It actually involves our trip here tonight.
Oh, it did, yeah.
So Howie and Snorkel, our producer, picked me up on the way through. Brownie and Damo have given us the,
lemonade.
Yes.
The lemonade and sars, correct. And we were coming down along Alexander Avenue. So we're two lanes turn left onto Swan Street Bridge.
Yep.
And one lane goes straight ahead along Alexander Avenue. And it's peak hour traffic. Peak hour traffic. Cars for Africa. So there are two lanes in full motion going down and around on the Swan Street Bridge, and there's one lane waiting at a red light to go straight onto Alexander Avenue. Some bloke thought it was a good idea in the middle lane just to pull up next to the first car in the right lane and put his blinker on and say, I'm going to go that way.
How did you take that, Jeff?
Well, we weren't behind him, but there were a host of cars behind him that were constantly sitting on the horn. We're pissing ourselves laughing. And we've carefully driven past the bloke. We're all looking. He's fully aware of what's going on. And he's actually made a conscious decision. He said, you know what? Stuff it. That's the way I want to go. And I don't care how many people I'm going to put out. It was actually quite brilliant.
Some
the
of
fact that he could shut it out, Howard.
The mental strength. length was quite extraordinary.
Did he look stressed?
Well, he did. And we saw the wheels move a little bit. We thought, is he going to hold fast? And he did. They were just giving it to him from behind. He stopped a lane of moving traffic peak hour just so he could get a different direction out.
And that got the chief going on Melbourne traffic in the car. He started to... a trip home, as Nate will attest to, on Friday night with the chief in the car.
It's so much more entertaining than this show.
Yeah. It is.
He's an aggressive human being, Chief.
He gets the window down,
and every person that gets it within like half a metre of the car, he absolutely gives it to.
I think you're entitled to relay some positive feedback to some of those people that may not be paying attention to the way they're walking around town at night time.
Chief, you're a passenger. You're not even the driver. The driver's got the right to do that.
Well, I'm thinking of protecting Howie's car because imbeciles are jumping out from behind bushes to throw themselves in front of the car. They're walking across roads on mobile phones, not even looking at the traffic, wondering what all the fuss is about.
This is normally 11:30 on a Friday night.
Yes.
People have had a few.
Right.
Mick Molloy, who spent a fair bit of time in the mornings with Howie, hasn't got a driver's license, but he's been known to reach over and press the horn of the driver. And then he got told off for doing it. So he bought his own horn. bought a siren as a passenger that he can get involved in some Melbourne road rage.
Tigers taking on the Cats to the MCG in 30 minutes' time. We're here on the Friday Huddle thanks to Ream Hot Water. Ask your plumber to install a Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Time for Cult Hero of the Week.
The Friday Huddle's Cult Hero of the Week is a man who proudly displayed one of the greatest mullets in footy. He represented the Tigers in 144 games between 1991 and 1999 and had the displeasure of standing alongside the Chief on many occasions. Please welcome Scotty Turner.
Scotty, welcome to the Friday Huddle. Mark Howard, how are you?
G'day, guys. How are you?
Hey, great to speak to you. What's going on?
No much, mate. Just recovering from a few days down at Warrnambool, so a nice, easy night.
How was the ball?
Very good. Great to be back there, and that's where I obviously coached there 20 years ago. That was always just good to catch up with the boys and have a few beers and back some winners.
You did back a few winners, mate, did you?
Well, we had a couple of horses going around ourselves, and we come third and second, so we didn't get our money back there, but... Yeah, we just follow the wild stable, so we come out all right.
Done well then, done well.
Is it just 3 days back-to-back down there, Scotty?
Yeah, mate, sure is. Thankfully, it's not 4 days.
Now, Scotty, we want to get into your rivalry with the Chief, and the True Man's collected some stats on that, but we lived not far apart at one stage in Ascot Vale, Scotty, and then I had the pleasure of playing on you in one of my earlier games. Can you just enlighten the people in the box what you did that day? Because in the end, I had to say to you, mate, you have to stop.
I hope he clubbed you.
Can you explain what you did?
I just brought up with my wife before, and I said, I wondered whether you'd ask this question. I thought, was that a wave when I think a young Luke Darcy was doing up his shoelaces, and I was just trying to give him a bit of a nudge and kept on pushing him over and didn't like it, so give me a whack in the chops and the game continued on.
I had my shoelaces undone and every time I bent down to pick him up, he just pushed me over. So I go back again. It went on for a quarter and a half. I had to run to the wing and I'd just get down there, half get my lace done. He'd catch up, Scotty, and bowl me over again. You were just a loose unit, Scotty. Now, True Man, let's go back to what we got the man on for. True, you've collated some stats on the rivalry between Scotty Turner and the Chief.
Yeah, well, just look at Chief's record. It's an impressive scorecard against the Tigers, Darce. 111 majors from 20 games, averaged 5.5 goals per game. Polled, 19 Brownlow votes, which is a PB for the Chief against any opposition club. And then if we look at, we're just going to go down memory lane briefly, Howie.
Please do, Chu.
All right, Chief's first feast. He was a young 20-year-old, game number 6. He kicked 8 majors.
His first feast.
Yeah, have a guess at which against which team?
The Tigers.
Yeah, spot on.
20 years old.
Game 6,
never, 20.
Never looked back from there. But these were the golden years for Chief, and we're nearing the arrival of Scotty Turner here. Between 1988 and 1992, now, during this period, the Chief played against the Tigers 8 times and kicked 69 majors, averaging just under 9 per game. Look at the Chief, he's loving it.
That was good to me.
just polled 5 best on grounds, 3 votes from those 8 games. Howie, not bad.
And Scotty came along and spoiled it.
Yep. Yes, well, he's well looked after by the umpires, wasn't he?
Oh, there it is.
Finish it off, Chewy. What else you got there, Chewy?
Well, this is the ultimate feast for the Chief, Howie. All you can eat style back in 92.
don't do comedy, mate.
Here we go. As we know, round seven's been real well documented against the Tigers at Waverley Park. It's 17 majors. 17-5, Richmond scoreline at 14-9. So he outscored the Tigers. And then he backed it up. Round 22, that very same year, kicked 12 goals. Unfortunately, shut down Scotty Turner, was playing in both of those games as well, by memory. Is that right, Scotty?
I can't remember the second one. I do remember the first one out at Waverley. I was about the third opponent on him, and I remember running up the ground that late in that game, and old Jace was a bit puffed. He said, "What are you doing to me?" He said, "Oh, I'm trying to get you away from the goals, mate." So he was a bit puffed.
I was knackered by then too. But Ash, you must have the occasion where Scotty kept me goalless.
Well, here we go. And this is the twist. And I know you like twists and turns, Howie.
I do.
Well, in 1995, Chiefs in last two games against the Tigers when Scotty Turner was actually playing. Now, we know it's been well documented, Roll Chief mentioned it. Round 18, 1995, Scotty Turner kept the Chief goalless.
Goalless Chief.
And not only that, in round three earlier that year, he kept the Chief to only one major. That was at Waverley Park. Chief averaged 9 goals per game against the Tigers from 5 outings at Waverley. So he kept him to one goal. But just recapping again, when Scotty Turner kept the Chief goalless.
Yes.
Scotty Turner polled 2 Brownlow votes.
Oh, nice.
Tell us about that afternoon, Scotty.
It was a nice cold old Friday night at the G, I reckon, and I'd come off 3 weeks holiday, thanks to the tribunal, and I had the mallet cut off, I had the gloves on, long sleeves, and yeah, obviously the disposal to him that night wasn't as good as other times, so it was thankfully the teammates up the ground supported me a bit more. And
umpires looked after him.
It was a good night.
Can you remember who got the 3 votes that night, Scotty?
Oh, no, probably not. No, night up, maybe.
I don't know.
Here's a stat here. So have a guess how many, Scotty, have a guess how many Brownlow votes you polled throughout your entire career.
About 5.
4. So that means 50% of your votes were polled against the Chief.
Very good.
Did he talk much, Scotty, Chief, when you played on him?
Not really. I remember that night at the G, he might have gave me a belt in the back of the head and he apologised to me for that. But
there you
just make sure he wasn't sighted on camera or something like that, but no, we certainly talked a few more times at the nightclubs, that's for sure.
and the day in question with the 17, again, it has been unfortunately lumped on you the way history's telling it, but who were the other?
Yeah, lag the other bloke.
Richmond guys who contributed to Chief kicking 17.
I like to remind everyone that he only kicked 8 on me, so it was Jeff Hogg and Terry Keyes had a crack at him first. So
that's right.
I was the unlucky one to punt him for the next 2.5 quarters, whatever it was. So, yes, I get reminded about that every week probably, especially being down in Warrnambool this last few days.
You still do you? Every week.
Up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, most of the time, whether it's at work or local footy, someone always brings it up. I say, no, I can't remember that one. I remember the last one when I played on him.
Yeah, tell them to go back to 95, mate. That's the one.
That's right.
And, Scotty, you had a great year and you were much loved by your Tiger teammates and everyone in the AFL at that time. Who do you keep in touch with, Scotty, from that era?
Yeah, Bondi and Bauer and Cambo and obviously the big Chief, Benny Gale, and then Richo. But it's always good to catch up with the guys. And we sort of, been the last few years, how well the Tigers have been going. So we always catch up for a beer at the footy, and obviously been at the grand final the last few years.
All right, Scotty, we appreciate your time, mate. Stay safe. Great to speak to you, and hopefully your Tigers get a win tonight.
Yes, hopefully. Thanks, guys. Cheers, mate.
Thanks, Scotty.
Right, Scotty.
Thank nice you. Stuff.
Good fella. Good fella.
Not many. How many people kept Chief goalless, True Man?
Oh, there's
Chief,
a few.
Well,
a few.
He's only held goalless 15 times in total from 269 games, the Chief.
Did you, a serious question now, as a man that I've stated as often as my hero, as a young man growing up, do you go out and celebrate after kicking 17 goals? I know you're a humble man, but you've kicked 17.
We just went out after games, Howie.
Right.
It wasn't about celebrating. We just went out because you could.
Well, so it was on the scoreboard.
JD's bar active at that point?
No, not the...
You know you're up to that many?
Absolutely.
And did the record come into your mind, Fred Fanning's record of 18?
I wasn't acutely aware of Fred Fanning's record.
Right. But did anyone, did the runners come out or the other players say, Chief, you're on with the show here?
No. The scoreboard flashed the Waverley Park record, I think, when it was 16. And then as Scotty said, he started to run upfield, and I was stupid enough to follow him, and then didn't have the gas to get back the last few minutes. So, but it was one of those days where everything went right. So you just take it when it comes.
And we heard it was 17-5. Yep. So 18 would have equaled the record. Were any of the five ones that you look back and think, "Ooh, they got away from me"? Like, how was your kicking that day?
17-5.
Well, it's pretty good. Yeah. But like, you didn't miss. It was not missing the goal square or anything.
Not that
I don't think there's much vision of the game.
Not that I can remember. But if you're kicking 3 goals per point, you're doing very well. So I actually met Fred Fanning during the week afterwards, and he said, "Gee, you're a bit inaccurate. I kicked 18-1.
Wow,
18-1.
And was that set up, that meeting, because of your performance? Yes. Or just coincidental?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So, which was interesting.
Do you wish you had got it?
I can't remember that.
Did you wish you had got it?
It's a nice record.
It'd be a nice record, but I'm still happy with 7-8.
Yeah, I guess.
Didn't say no, did he?
There's not many people can say they're happy with 7-8, Noodles.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.